This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, champ, introduce it, Yanni. We're on the channel now. Come on.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys doing? Many of you would have expected me and Ali to be there in the PBD show. Unfortunately, we couldn't make it, and there was actually an extenuating circumstance. Frankly, our visas are still being processed, and the PBD team wanted to continue on this on that particular day, on the 21st, and they were going to choose their own two opponents, and we decided, no, we're going to step in and choose ourselves. And so we chose Daniel Hakikachu and Jake, the Muslim metaphysician, two very highly acclaimed, high-caliber debaters, which you saw, mashallah, they represented very well. And what I wanted to do in this particular show, or this particular reaction video, was to react to some key points of the podcast. First and foremost, I think we really, when we were planning for this debate, let's say, Ali, I think we overestimated our opponents, didn't we?
We did greatly. I mean, we was prepared anyways, but what they were going to come with and what we saw was cliche. I mean, same, nothing, nothing different.
Yes, because we were planning, and whenever we do have something that we, a debate that we have to go for, we plan for it, we train for it.
We over-prepare.
We prepare for it. So we read his his books, and Rashid has got a channel in Arabic. And I thought he was going to bring some technical prowess to the table. Unfortunately, what we saw was a fumbling, disfluent individual who couldn't even express himself in the English language, emotionally making all these arguments, couldn't even answer, maybe even understand some of the questions that were being posed.
He seemed like an emotional wreck. Like, he reminded me of a woman on a menstruous, you know, because sometimes they get emotional in that time. All he doing was just emotions and emotions and these arguments. And you know what's very interesting, Hijab, is that they think that these arguments would work like it did 10 years ago.
You need to
understand that there is so much tolerance that people are now attracted to intolerance.
Yeah.
So the point is what? And at that instance, you saw that all he was doing is like, and these were all, most of them were lies, by the way. Kill, rape, kill me, this, I know this story, I know that story. Blah, blah, blah.
Machine gun tactic.
Machine gun tactic. And guess what? It actually backfired so bad when we look at the poll. We're going to come to that after.
We can look at that.
We'll come to that after.
That's very good, because even on the PBD audience, as you mentioned, the neutral observer was looking at that and not rating their performance
at
the two Christians. Even notwithstanding the fact that the moderator was Christian himself, that it's not a Muslim channel here we're talking
about. Not only that, I was shocked. I thought the poll, I was scared when I was looking at the poll. When I looked at the poll, Rashid Hammam, what does Hammam mean, toilet?
I think it's Hammami, by the way.
Oh, okay, sorry. So Rashid Hammam. So basically, he was actually right at the bottom. I thought people watching me sympathize with him. People thought to himself, what an emotional rate. And who was at the top? Daniel Hakikachu and Jake. That made, you know, that when I looked at that, I was like, exactly the thought process of people. Because we've been attacked by the left, all of us, both Christians and Muslims, and even Patrick, and I need to say he was quite fair as well, that the fact that he was saying, look, common ground, but all we saw was, we didn't see two Christians. It was as if two Muslims were these two liberals.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's what it was.
And because what it is that they're both trained in philosophy, both Daniel and Jake. And what they did in the very beginning was very clever, because what they done was they unpacked their philosophical presuppositions. And in both cases, what they were doing was effectively was correct. They were presenting a secular liberal attack of Islam.
Literally.
But they're Christians. So what the tactic that was then employed was, well, if you guys are Christians, you should be believing in the Old Testament. Now, of course, we know that a Christian is going to respond and say, well, there's the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Mm. That, you know, Jesus, if you believe in him, you know, sola fide. You don't have to necessarily believe in all these minutiae rules in the Old Testament. But the way that was retorted to, I think, was fantastically done by Jake.
Exactly.
And it was expertly executed. So I want to just react on that.
Yes.
Because I think it was the first goal, and I was very, very happy to see that.
Yes.
Very proud of him.
And just look at Robert Spence's
reaction.
Look at his reaction.
Unbelievable, really. So let's take a look at what he has to say.
Yeah, so I would ask Robert a very simple question that I think gets at what the real issue actually is. Do you believe that it's inherently immoral for an apostate to be put to death?
Do I believe that it's inherently immoral for an apostate
to be put to death? Is it inherently immoral?
Well, I know this is some kind of trap, but in any case,
I'm just looking for honesty on your part. That's all.
You can always have honesty on my part.
But already, this is a shocking admission.
Of course.
He says, okay, well, is this something which is immoral? Because the thing is, if we're interested in knowing what the truth is, right? We're interested in what proves something to be the truth.
Exactly.
And what proves or disproves something to be the truth.
Exactly.
In other words, what has creedal disproving implications.
Exactly.
Okay, now you might not like a morality. You might find it aesthetically unpleasing.
Doesn't make it false.
So the point is this, is that when he was asked, because Patrick asked him, what's your biggest challenge with Islam? What's your biggest gripe? And he responded, is sanctification of violence. That's his response. So in other words, his strongest argument against Islam, this is a career Islamophobe, written 27 books.
Yes.
His strongest argument against Islam is that it endorses violence. Now, Jake is doing the right thing and say, okay, well, if this is your standard,
yes.
Well, then let's see what else crumbles.
Exactly.
And how is it that this is your standard anyway? Exactly. He's going into a meta-ethical question.
Mm.
Is this thing, which you're considering apostasy law, whatever it may be, do you consider it to be objectively false?
Yes.
Is it a morality which is false? If it is so, then let's deal with the next part. And I think here...
Watch it now, bro. He crumbled more than an apple crumble.
Everything I tell you is the truth.
Okay. So
and the fact is that, I don't know. I tell you the truth. I haven't thought about it.
Okay, but, you haven't thought about it. Well, you're writing all of these books on Islam, talking about
criticizing
apostasy.
Islam.
Right. And you don't even know if this is inherently immoral. That's quite shocking, Robert.
I would say that I don't think that it's moral to put the apostate to death.
So it's immoral.
As it comes to my books about Islam, I'm just reporting on what Islamic clerics and the Islamic tradition teaches about passages like when Muhammad says, if somebody changes his religion, kill him. So if you look, for example, in chapter 4, verse 89 of the Quran, in the critical Quran, where it says, if they turn renegade, then come and kill them wherever you find them, then I give Islamic authorities who actually say that this should be done. And that is something people need to know.
By the way, that verse has got nothing to do with apostasy.
No, zero.
So 489 is not, this is a misquotation.
Yes.
Okay, but let's continue anyway.
Yeah.
Now, whether you're talking about in the ideal society, you have apostates put to death, I don't think so, because I believe in the freedom of conscience and the idea that of the dignity of the human person, which is a Christian concept that's not in Islam. You have in Islam, the unbelievers are the most vile of created beings, according to chapter 9.
That's false again. I mean, he's saying it's a Christian concept. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have dignified the human being.
Mm.
So what he's saying is actually antithetical to the text. Mm. And what he says here is that, the most vile creatures... are the disbelievers. He's referring to Surah Al-Bayyina.
Yes.
That they are shar al-bariyah. It's not vile. In fact, here, shar means the most evil.
Yes.
So let's have some good... You meant to have translated the Quran, doesn't even know the Arabic language.
Yeah.
Imagine someone who doesn't know a language translating a book. He's got a book that is translated and he's not even translating it correctly. And his friend, who's meant to be an Arabic speaker, who's been refuted profusely, by the way, at the highest level by Abu al-Qais, Muhammad Rashid, who looked at his videos... And he was trying to imitate the Quran and he saw so many grammatical mistakes and stuff. The guy's a laughing stock in the Arab world.
Yeah,
and he was defeated. He was humiliated by one person called Munqidh Saqqar, a doctor in comparative religion. He's not even stepping in to help his friend here, telling him you're translating incorrectly.
Rashid Hammam.
I understand, but this is all the same issue. Whereas in Christianity, all people are equal in dignity as made in the image of God. And so in that sense, I would say, no, I don't think it is.
So is it inherently immoral, yes or no?
Can I answer that?
It is. So when the Bible, when Deuteronomy, since you like to quote the Quran, when the Bible says this in Deuteronomy 13:6, if your brother, the son of your mother, your son of your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend, who is as your own soul, secretly entices you, saying, quote, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, of the gods of the people which are all around you, near to you or far from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, you shall not consent to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him, but you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people, and you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So all Israel shall hear and fear, and not again do such wickedness as this among you. Yes. So let me finish.
I get your passage.
So when your loving God, Jesus Christ, who you believe is God, who revealed the Old Testament and revealed this as a law for the people, and you said that it's inherently immoral for the punishment of apostasy to be death, then you are charging your own God and supposedly loving Jesus with immorality.
Not
sir.
At all.
If you don't see that contradiction and hypocrisy,
it's not in the least
really do much for you.
Well, it's not in the least contradictory or hypocritical, because that is God actually ordering something
was
directly.
Was God wrong for that?
Now, the question here is whether the Muslims, when they put people to death for apostasy today, are likewise authorized by God in some direct manner. Now,
obviously, that's what matters.
Yes, the question is...
But it's not inherently immoral. It just matters what is the correct religion and whether or not God is actually revealing it.
Yeah, if you study the Old Testament, you will actually find that there's a great deal of discussion about passages like that and whether they are actually commands by God, whether they were understood by the faithful, interpretations by the faithful. The evolving understanding in the Old Testament and the New and in Jewish and Christian tradition is something that unfortunately is absent in Islam, such that in Jewish and Christian tradition, you have the understanding of the dignity of the human person that ultimately made people realize that putting people to death for a apostasy was not something that was acceptable. Yeah. But the idea that it was a localized command at some point or understood to be such, that is not the same thing as people nowadays thinking they are the executors of the wrath of Allah because Muhammad says, if anybody changes his religion, kill him. And the Quran says that you can soothe your heart by fighting the unbelievers and so on. So
Robert, let me hear from my brother Rashid for one.
He completely went away from it and he went to the Muslims.
Well, do you blame him?
No. This needs to be highlighted
exactly.
here. Exactly. What he done is he completely trapped
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
He absolutely trapped him.
Yes.
Because the point is this, is that when you think about it, yes, yeah. if this thing is inherently moral, it's objectively wrong. Yes. Okay, you think it's objectively wrong, so it doesn't matter, it's irrespective mm. whether this thing is being commanded, whether Jesus is commanding us as yeah. part of the triune God to kill a 3-year-old or a 1-year-old or a 6-year-old, whatever it may be, thousands of years ago, versus whether it's doing it now.
Exactly.
In other words, if a 3-year-old is being commanded to be killed at any point in time, yes, if it's inherently wrong. It should be wrong then and wrong now, it should be wrong at all
only,
times.
Not only that, he's admitting that his God was wrong for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to understand. But what he does go goes on to say is these things are fables, and these things are, and the amount of hermeneutical gymnastics this shows you.
He's an heretic.
Absolutely, but the thing is, he doesn't care. These people don't care about defending their religion.
Yes.
They care about attacking Islam.
Yes.
Because the thing is, once again, the question at hand is, what creedal disproving implications does this have? Let's say it's true. There is an apostasy law. Let's say there's a blasphemy law. All these laws are in the law, the jurisprudence, the fiqh of Islam. So what? The question is, so what? Mm-hmm. How does this disprove Islam?
Exactly.
That's the question. And then worse yet is that when you apply it to your own books, if you think it disproves it, then it will disprove your own books. And it doesn't disprove it because there's no philosophical reason for it to disprove it. It's because the question is this. Is it logically possible for a God, effectively, to allow an apostasy law to happen, to command an apostasy.
Yes.
Is it logically possible?
Yes.
If it's logically impossible, now you have to bring theological justification for that. Mm. And these guys are completely out of their depth with this question. He's completely knocked out here, knocked down in the first round. So I have to rate, honestly, Jake done a very, very, very good job here. And obviously Daniel does a fantastic job as well. They both do a good job together. I think they presented the Islamic argument quite well.
Yes.
I would have liked to see a little bit more tawhid being emphasized because you could see when it was, the Trinity was being attacked. These guys ran away. These guys ran away. What do you have to say? Because we want to do another video maybe.
Yeah, no, I think, yes, we'll do another video where we'll touch up on different points as well. But here, for him, and you can see, we knew this on our opponents when we were going to face them, that they are very, very scared on their own scripture.
That's right.
They're terrified.
That's right.
That's what you see the moment he mentioned that, or the moment Jake mentioned that, you can see him crumbling. You can see his absolute crumbling. And Rashid Hammam is absolutely quiet in the matter.
That's right.
The fact that he said inherently it is immoral, you have now, can you imagine me saying, that Allah inherently done something that is immoral.
That's right.
Brother, I'm a disbeliever. I'm done. Right. But the Christians today, they don't care about the Bible. Their hostility towards Islam and Muslims are to such a level, they have forgotten the Bible. They forgot about preaching it. They forgot about the Trinity. They do not talk about anything. And we see this in Speaker's Corner. We see it everywhere.
Yes.
They are speaking about nothing but Islam. And this is shocking. I mean, we are so sure of our faith that we talk about Islam, we talk about the Quran, we talk about the Prophet's life, and thousands, if not millions of people come to Islam around the world. It's as if these people are just fixated and their animosity and hatred has overridden their logical thought process that they're not realizing, like these two individuals, if somebody watched them an outsider, they'll think they're two liberals.
Exactly.
And this is what won the argument because they're looking and thinking, look, we're getting attacked by the left, the liberal worldview, and have a backbone.
And that's why, because these guys keep compromising on their faith.
Exactly. And that's why Patrick was even agreeing with the Muslims in this aspect. And it showed very clearly who the general public, whose side they're on. And that's the Muslims, because we stand firm to our faith and we are proud of all the legislation of the Sharia. We are not cowards and two-faced individuals like these Robert Spencer and Rashid Hammam, for that matter, that they have thrown their religion under the bus.
Yeah.
So alhamdulillah, what was seen there, even for some that are watching, like, oh, Islam says that. Yes, arguments say most of it was a lie. But what it shows is, as Muslims, bro,
the distortions and misrepresentations
firm to our faith.
Absolutely.
Alhamdulillah.
I think that's a good video. We'll do another couple of videos in reaction. There will be a follow up, inshallah. And sure. Our visas are being processed. So we might be going to the PBD show ourselves. Sure. But having said that, this was a good showing. And I'm very, very proud of both brothers. And alhamdulillah, it was something which we can be all proud about. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.